Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. My name is Darlene Schwenk, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, You Servants of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you this morning for worship. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and the power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, Amazing Grace, hymn number 509 in Lutheran Worship.
Oh,
The lector this morning is Sue Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Sue.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 10. Shout it out loud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in responsive reading of Psalm 112 as printed in your worship bulletin.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, all the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, Holy God, We Praise Your Name, hymn number 171 in Lutheran Worship. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from Psalm 23. That's the responsive reading that we read this morning. It wasn't Psalm 112, I think, is what was printed up in the book. It was not Psalm 112, and I'm sure you figured that out right away, but Psalm number 23. So there was this young man. And the young man was desperately ill. His parents recognized that he was nearing death, and so they put a phone call in to their pastor. Well, the pastor came that night to visit the young man. The young man was really in and out of consciousness the whole time. He was unable to speak. And as a matter of fact, he never really opened his eyes much at all, never spoke at all in the pastor's presence. The pastor spent time with this young man alone. Mom and dad weren't in the room. And when he was through, the pastor went home. He had the full intention on coming back the following morning to visit once again. But sadly, the young man had died during the night. Well, when the pastor returned that morning, he did his best to console the parents. He prayed with them. He grieved with them. Well, later on, the parents had asked the pastor an interesting question. They had wondered if he had known anything about an interesting thing that they had observed with their son. You see, they told the pastor that in the hours before their son had died and at the time of his death, he was holding on to his left ring finger with his right hand. In fact, he died in that position. Well, it was then that the pastor explained to the parents what he had said that night to the young man in the room. You see, he wanted to explain in a very, very simple way a very comforting message to this young man. And so he explained it this way. And here's what he told the parents. I took your son's thumb, and I held his thumb in my hand, and I said to him the word "the." And that's all I said, because what I was going to talk about with him was something that was one of a kind, like nothing else. And then I took his next finger, and I said, "Lord, the Lord, the Lord, not just anyone, but the Lord Jesus Christ, a death-defeating Savior." And then I took his next finger, and I held on to that finger, and I said, "Is. The Lord is." You see, this Lord Jesus Christ, he's right here, right now, right with you. And for the next, I gently grabbed his ring finger. Now maybe you know this, tradition says that there is a vein in the left finger. This is what was thought for a long, long time. There's a vein in the left ring finger that's supposed to run right to the heart. And that's why we wear our wedding bands on our left ring finger. And so I grabbed hold of his left ring finger, and I said the word "my." The Lord is my shepherd. It's coming. The Lord is my. He's yours. He's yours forever. There's nothing that's going to separate you from him. Don't let your heart be troubled. His love never, ever fades. And for his last finger, I held on to it, and I said, "Shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd, the good shepherd who knows you, who's called you by name, the one who has led you in this life, and the one who is going to lead you home to his embrace forever and ever." And so, you see, while the young man had not spoken, he heard. He heard loud and clear as the Spirit was working in his heart. And before he had died, he put his hand right around his ring finger that led right to his heart. And it became his clear confession of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, he trusted. He knew that his Savior, his shepherd, his friend would lead him to safety just as he had always done. What a beautiful story. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is just something remarkably reassuring about this psalm, isn't there? And I would venture to say that it is probably the most beloved psalm, if not the most beloved passage in all of Scripture. The words just have a way of soothing us, of calming us, especially when the valleys are so real for you and me. And we talked about that last week a little bit, didn't we? How sometimes things just have a way of coming at us in every single direction. Those are the valleys of life sometimes. And how stuff just has a way of happening, sometimes even all at once. And as real as that may be, though, don't get me wrong. The tough stuff isn't the stuff that defines you and me. Negative isn't our disposition. The truth is, every single day is filled with blessing after blessing, isn't it? I guess when you really think about it, every day for you and me is a peak. We're blessed to wake up. We're blessed to breathe in the freshness of a new day, as cold as it might be. We're blessed. We're blessed to be surrounded by people we love and people who love us. And how remarkably awesome that is. How amazing it is just to think about the simplicity of it. But the greatness of those blessings. You know, there's some real truth in these words from Lamentation chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ever ceases. His mercies are new each and every day. Great, great is his faithfulness. But you know something? It's easy sometimes to lose sight of this, isn't it? How easy it is in life at times to get lost to our thoughts, lost to our fears, lost to our anxieties, lost to negativity, especially when we do find ourselves in those valleys. And how every single one of us know the valleys, sometimes too well and sometimes too often. See, the reality of living on this side of God's kingdom is that there are going to be those dark times. times when danger does lurk. There are going to be those days, those challenging times when we wonder how we're going to make it through. Those days maybe when we find ourselves doubting and feel as though hope isn't even possible for us. Circumstances are just so grim. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist cried. And so do we. It's real. We know those moments in life when we do feel weak, and lost, and empty, and sad, consumed, devoured. But today, as we gather here in the house of the Lord, we're reminded of something hugely important. Something remarkable. We're reminded of our hope. You see, through all of this life, through the sunshine, through the clouds, through the storms, you and me have a constant, a never changing. We have a shepherd. And the shepherd, the good shepherd, our Jesus, well, he's our lifeline. Do you know anything about sheep? What do you know about sheep? They follow. They're dumb. That's always what comes up. But, you know, we have to be very careful because I think the Bible parallels us to sheep. So, when we say sheep are dumb, I guess we're kind of saying, well, we are too. And we are at times, aren't we? Yes, sir. They're fluffy. They're fluffy. They sure are. They make great sweaters. No, but Guy, I appreciate your answer because that's always kind of what comes to my mind too. Sheep are not the smartest of animals, but they are. They're not bad. There you go, Gary. It's good. Put that one in the file. Sorry. No, that's great. That's good. But you know, we always do kind of say that sheep aren't the smartest of animals, but in their own kind of way, I want to argue that they are. You see, sheep, they follow, and sheep trust. They trust the shepherd. And I think that's the heart of Psalm 23. It's about trust. Trusting in our good shepherd, our Jesus, always trusting in him in everything. And that takes faith. It really does. And sometimes the last thing we're grabbing for when we do find ourselves in those trying times, sometimes the last thing that we're grabbing for is his rod and his staff. But it's always there for us. Jesus is always there for us. That's what he told us, right? You remember before he ascended, what did he say? Lo, I am with you always. And that's for every single one of us in this place, too. You see, my friends, our good shepherd always reaches out to you and me. And it's his presence, it's his promises, it's his word that comes to you and me. It's his rod and it's his staff that do bring to us comfort as we're reminded of his rescue of us when he died and he rose for us. And as we're reminded how that same rod and staff extends to you and me still, his aid comes to you and me as he provides when we need him the most. And it's this good shepherd, our Jesus, who can and does restore our souls. When we feel like we're in the pit of despair, when we feel like there is nothing before us, when we are in that low valley, it's this Jesus and Jesus alone who can restore our souls. He's the one who can refresh us and renew us so that we can be a people who are overpowered by hope, not overcome by fear and uncertainty. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is good. God is so good. And his goodness is with us always. He's with us. He's got us. And it's this, our Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who is our comfort, who is our joy, who is our life. Right here and right now and forever. Forever. Life with him. When we are sure to see him face to face. The Lord is my shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by Millie Sietsma's Daughters in loving memory of their mother for her birthday, and also sponsored by Marcia McKinney in memory of her dad, Alan Cady, from 1916 to 1992.
are printing the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Crew Jigallo. That's my little nephew. Crew is recovering from some surgery this past week. He's home and doing okay. So please keep him in your prayers as he continues to recover. We say a special word of prayer this morning for Dawn Brennan. Chief Brennan is flying solo this morning, but it's good to see you here, Chief. Dawn is doing well. She's home recovering from surgery. There was a tumor that was at the base of her brain, as I understand. And she's doing really, really well. She sent me an email this week, and doctors are confident that tumor was not cancerous. And so we throw our hands up in the air with shouts of praise to our God for his goodness. But we do continue to pray for Dawn, and I hope that she's going to be listening to the radio this morning. But we're going to pray for Dawn and know that God continues to have her in the palm of his hand and will bring healing to her. For a prayer for Lori Lasanti. Lori is also recovering from some surgery this past week, so we pray for continued healing for Lori. And a few weeks ago, you may remember that I prayed for a woman by the name of Patricia Deck. That's the mother-in-law of one of my fire chiefs in the village. Patricia has cancer, and they went in and removed part of her lung this past week. Unfortunately, she got pneumonia post-surgery, so she's having a real tough go right now. So I would ask that you continue to pray for Patricia, that you would raise her up, that this pneumonia would be kicked and that healing would be hers. Let's pray. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have appointed your church to be a city on a hill, shining the light of your mercy into the world and gathering your own to receive your precious gifts of forgiveness, life, and mercy. Use us joyfully to invite and welcome our neighbors, our co-workers, and our acquaintances to join us in receiving your gifts. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son commanded us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. In answer to that prayer, you raise up men to serve your people with your word and sacraments. You raise up teachers, deacons, deaconesses, directors of Christian education, and others to catechize and carry out works of mercy in the world. Bless all those who study for church vocations in our seminaries and universities, that their studies might build them up in the joy of your gospel and prepare them to share your word with confidence and love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, through the prophets, you declare that the fasting you accept is to share our food with the hungry and our homes with the homeless. Guard us from self-absorption, gluttony, and other vices that prevent us from extending your bounty to those less fortunate. Grant shelter to those who have none, food to those who hunger, and honest work to the unemployed. Use your people to extend your mercy and lift us up to the joy of sharing our daily bread. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your mercies are new to us every morning. And yet we often know the pain of sickness, injury, sorrow, and other frailties. In your never-failing mercy, remember those who have requested our intercessions. We pray especially today for Crew, for Dawn, for Lori, for Patricia. We pray for all of those who are in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts, that they might have healing and wholeness according to your will, and grace to entrust themselves to your merciful hands as they endure with courage and hope whatever crosses and afflictions you have allowed. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son came to perfectly fulfill your holy law. Give us confidence and faith in his unfailing obedience as we worship in your presence today, that our hearts might be filled with faith once again, and strength to carry forth your mission in our world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of life, receive our thanks for your faithful servants who now rest in Christ. Bring us with them to the light and joy of your eternal kingdom and to that feast that knows no end. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "In the Cross of Christ I Glory, Savior," hymn number 101 in Lutheran Worship. The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is secretary@sjlcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Darlene Schwenk, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Have a seat. Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. I do hope and pray that you've been blessed in worship this morning as we have continued on this journey through the Psalms. So I hope it's been a blessing to you. It certainly has been a blessing to me to ponder these Psalms a little bit more deeply. So we'll continue on with these for the next couple of weeks, and then we move into Lent, so we'll go back to the seasonal Lent stuff that that we're going to be working with. All right, so for now, we're going to just keep working on the Psalms, but once we get into Lent, we want to observe that season accordingly in the series that's going to be utilized. So, all right. So what do I want to tell you? Annual dinner, that's coming up. That's going to be on February 21st of this month at 6 o'clock. So that's our annual dinner / annual spaghetti dinner / kickoff to the 125th anniversary. So all kinds of stuff that are getting rolled into one event. So that's it's an exciting night for us, and I hope that that you'll be able to join us. It's $5 per person, and I promise you won't leave hungry. So it does kind of kick off the 125th anniversary year for us. So you'll get some highlights on the things that are going to be happening, and just a little brief history. As I understand, John Preston is going to be the guy, and then he's going to offer up the toast, the wine toast for that night. So anyway, should be a good night. Laura's got the tickets, so you can see Laura after service and grab tickets from her if you're interested. There's a little blurb in here about desserts and a sign-up sheet for the desserts. That has changed since we printed the bulletin. The anniversary committee met this past week, and they decided that they're just going to handle the desserts. We are not soliciting desserts from the congregation. That's something that's going to be handled. So don't worry about bringing anything in the form of desserts for that event. Just bring yourselves. Lenten devotional books. If you are interested in Lenten devotional books, those are available to you. There's a sign-up sheet up on the bulletin board. We have adult and children's devotional books. If you want one, just sign up and let us know. In that same kind of direction, in terms of Lent, over the number of years, long before my time here, our congregation has participated in the midweek Lenten rotation with our Buffalo North Eastern District congregations. This year, there's the congregation has been around for a long time, but they're just kind of coming up on the map. St. Paul Lutheran Church in Clarence Center, and they're kind of partnering in ministry with Holy Cross in Clarence with Pastor Nickel. But the congregation is going to be looked after by a vicar that they just received. And so this year, St. John's DePew gave up our spot humbly to St. Paul Clarence Center. So we will not this year be hosting that midweek rotation. When I talked with Pastor Nickel, I just kind of felt it would be great for folks to be able to get out to that congregation and to get to meet that congregation's people and the new vicar that's there. So instead of us hosting this year, it's going to be out at St. Paul and Clarence Center. There is also, I have not heard any word at this point in regards to the ecumenical Lenten rotation that takes place in DePew, Lancaster. Once I get that information, I will be sure to hand it down to you. I'll have the dates and the locations up on the bulletin board for you. I know some of you were inquiring about that already. I've not heard anything from the ministerium group yet, but I assume that it is still on for this year. So anyway, I'll stay tuned for that ecumenical rotation that takes place during the noon hour. Altar Guild, Worship Assistant Appreciation Breakfast, that's looking forward to March. That's going to be coming up 9 o'clock. It's a Saturday morning. If you would like to join us for that, if you help out in any aspect of worship here at St. John's, you know, deacons, altar guild, ushers, lectors, greeters, and the list goes on. We would love for you to be a part of that breakfast. There is a sign-up sheet, so just get your name up on the sign-up sheet. So we know how many people to plan for. Last thing I'm going to mention to you, and then I'll get you going. I believe I kind of tried to keep you up to speed on some of the administrative stuff that we're doing here in terms of the new database. For a number of years, we've been utilizing a program called Logos 2, and that's how we keep track of our roles, our membership roles, and all the financial stuff kind of work through Logos Financial, the financial portion. Well, Logos is no longer doing updates, and updates are important from a software point of view. They're no longer doing those updates, so we're really kind of forced to change our database. So we're up and running now, which, phew, thank God. It was anxious thinking, you know, how we were going to get all these files over, and it worked out. It worked out wonderfully. But one of the things that we discovered in this new program is it's really easy to keep track of attendance. For us, our attendance really has only been tracked on communion weeks, which are every other week. And that really doesn't give us much in terms of an accurate attendance week after week after week. The elders, you'll see them in the back counting heads. So they can tell you, by the way, if you are developing bald spots. just have conversation with Rod this afternoon and he'll make reference to hair replacement treatment for you. But that's kind of how we've done it. We count heads, and then we try to get. And for those of you who are bald, they can tell you too if there's anything developing up there. But anyway, that's kind of how we've done it. Well, with this new system, inputting that information is a lot easier, and so we want to try to start keeping track of things every week. What we're going to do is the communion cards that are in the pews right now are going to be replaced with a sort of multi-purpose card that you're going to utilize every week. And so what we would like you to do, and we have to work out the details, but the cards are going to be here this week, so we probably got to think fast on this one. But what you're going to do is each week you're just going to fill out the card like you would on a communion week. But there's a box on there that just says member, regular attender, or guest, have the pastor call me, right? And then underneath that is your communion registration. So you're only going to do that on communion weeks, right? It's pretty simple. It's laid out pretty simple. But we want to start utilizing those every week. So we're going to ask you to fill out that card every week so that we can keep accurate attendance here. The other option that we have with this program is if you gone to Quest and got blood work done, and you go in and there's a kiosk and you punch yourself in, that's another option. How many of you are in favor of that one? I didn't think so. We will possibly utilize that as another alternative. But I just want to get you in the mindset that we are going to be doing this every week, and we are praying and hoping for your cooperation and participation in this new endeavor. So, yes, sir. You can, but the way that the database is set up, it's easier to search by name than it is by envelope number, but it is not impossible for us to search by envelope number. Yeah, so we're still learning the system. A lot easier to use than the other one, but still a lot of stuff to learn. So. You could do that too, right? We could give you everybody a QR code. And that would go back to the old days, right, Pastor, where there were card-carrying Lutherans, right? I don't know if we want to go back to those days. So we're off the air, and I can say that. So that's right. I think, just from the planning standpoint, I think this is going to be the easiest way to do it. The cards, whether we collect them as the offering's coming down, you drop them in the offering plate, or we have something in the back. I don't know yet. We'll figure it out. I'll let you know. Okay? Sorry to. Could somebody say something else? No? All right, good. Sorry to keep you for a few extra minutes, but That's the way it is. RJ's taking pictures for the directory, so make sure you got your smiles ready. Thanks. Just do it out in the narthex, sir. Anywhere you think is best. All right. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.